This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is Chris, don't call me Christopher Dempsey, of Altitude TV. Chris, my friend, always look forward to catching up with you. And I know we had this scheduled yesterday, so I was really hoping the Nuggets would pull it off. They did. It was an ugly one, but the Nuggets found a way, 128-125 to the Utah Jazz. Welcome to the program, my friend.
What's up, man? How are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. We're heavy into the basketball mode here. We got college stuff, a lot of great college teams in the area, Chris, and of course the saga surrounding the Nuggets at this stage. So we're hanging in, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, doing really well. It was good to see them get a win. Because, you know, sometimes you just have to get a win. And I know, you know, we get into these situations where you have a team with a good record versus a team with a really bad record, and the assumption is that, well, okay, that should be about a 15-20-point win. Well, maybe in college that might be the case. The NBA is kind of a different animal in that regard. And when you are a team like the Nuggets and you have been struggling in a lot of areas, you really just want to get that winning feeling back and then start to correct things after a victory. And so I think that's what that represented last night. Jamal obviously was awesome, you know, there were things to work on, but certainly especially because of the stretch coming up these next six games, winning last night was mandatory, and they got it done.
Yeah, I mean, found a way to get it done. I kind of thought the game, there were some good moments, of course, but it was just a frustrating game, Chris, and I made the mistake of going down the rabbit hole last night. I get on social media, and I think I looked at one Utah Jazz clip from, like, their announcers talking trash about Joker, and then it took me down this rabbit hole of random fans, even Nuggets fans, just kind of getting to somewhere weird for my brain, like calling out Joker. And I get it, man. This is the NBA. There's a lot of guys that they get in that mode where they complain to the referee, whatever. But what is he supposed to do, Chris? I mean, you got guards double teaming him. At least one guy is hands all over his body, slapping him in the face, all over his ribs, whatever. You can't get in fights or Joker's out for 10 games, Chris. So I don't. What is he honestly supposed to do with the way that these guys are defending him?
Yeah, you know, the way I looked at last night's game, I thought it was different than the OKC game, and I think the reason why I thought that was because Utah, I mean, basically every single one of their players that was tall was sitting on the bench. It was, you know, Jusuf Nurkic was out. Lauri Markkanen was out. Jaren Jackson Jr. was out. And so you have Filipowski, and then you had Oscar Tshiebwe, who was also there. And but that guy was 6'8". So, you know, from a coach's perspective, you got to front that. You got to front a player that's 7'2". Like you can't guard him backward, you know, from behind when you are standing as small as Utah was standing. So I thought their hand was forced last night. They had to front him, and then obviously they brought other players from behind and everywhere else, and it became a very kind of annoying thing for a tall center to have to deal with so many short players. You know, like little mats everywhere all around them. Mm-hmm. And even a couple of guys where they were getting a little bit physical last night. Whereas I thought the OKC game was, I thought it was physicality bordering on dirty play. And in fact, they had dirty plays in that game. So, you know, I thought it was different yesterday, but look, to answer your question, I think that for Nikola, it's about getting quickly into better post-up position in some of those situations. Just don't let the smaller player kind of push you out to where you're catching the ball kind of out toward the three-point line instead of where you want to catch the ball out, elbow down to block. And then outside of that, when he catches the ball and then he gets swarmed under, then he gets the ball out, then his teammates have to be really moving toward the basket. And we saw some instances of that last night. Bruce Brown's on some cuts under the rim. He was able to find them for some layups. And then you kick it out to a three-point shooter as well. And they have to start making those shots. And when they start making those shots and the team feels, the opposing team feels really threatened, that's when the space starts to get better for Nikola. Now when he catches the ball, not as many players around him because they're worried about other people as well, and then he can go to work.
Yeah, and Chris, I want to get to that part of it too, because I have several questions on that side, first placement of Joker. But the one specific who was the guard trying to block out Joker, and he's like on the ground basically, and Joker kind of falls on top of him.
Laid on top of him. Yeah, that was Keontae George.
And he's a phenomenal player. He has no interest in passing the basketball, but he's a phenomenal scorer. I'm asking the question because I'm seeing people, oh, what the hell's Joker doing out there? What is he supposed to do in that situation?
Well, so if you have a smaller player trying to box you out, and really, the technique there is, you saw how Keontae basically wanted to be the lowest player. So, like, low man wins in basketball. So if you and obviously Keontae's standing way shorter than him in the first place, so it's easier for him to get lower. And then when you get lower, now you're kind of trying to back into him on a box out. But he's so low that now he's into, Joker's knees. And, Jokic is falling over him and then landing on him. And so, for Nikola Jokic, it's about himself getting a little bit lower, but he's just so good rebounding those basketballs off the rim, basically standing straight up, that he almost never has to do it. And also, he's usually battling against a player comparable in size. So there's not a lot of funny business in terms of getting low to get a good box out position to now explode up toward the basketball. He just kind of tips the ball around, right? Or water polos it, like catches it with one hand, water polos it, throws it to wherever it needs to be thrown, or gets it right straight back up to the rim. And so when a player is getting under you that way and lower, then the problem puts you off balance, obviously. Now you're not really able to get into then everything gets awkward after that because you're tripping over a player because you're not low either. And it just becomes a real weird situation for a post player. And I just think in that instance, that's what we were looking at. Keontae just was like, hey, the only thing I can do here is try to get into him and root him out. And for the bigger player, you have to get low as well. Maybe even get your knee into his back or something like that. And root him out. And so, but because that's not necessarily how Nikola Jokic operates around the rim, it became an awkward situation. He ended up falling on him. And honestly, as a big man, that's exactly what you should do. So, if you have a small player getting into you like that, and now you're off balance and you can't do what you want to do, if you fall, you fall right on that guy so that he knows the next time you do this, it's going to hurt just as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought honestly that was really well done by Nikola just to fall right flat on him and to make him think about it for the next time. But Utah just had too many small players. They were trying to guard a taller player and they were fronting him all night long. There's not going to be a lot of situations like that with a team that small trying to guard a player that big going forward.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, you talked a little bit about and to avoid some of those double teams, those crazy double teams. I think it was right out of the fourth quarter to start. There was like three in a row. Joker gets the ball on the wing, and they double him quickly. And you're seeing a lot of the grabbing and stuff go on there. With Coach Adelman at that point, what is it? Do you have to like instruct? Hey, we got to start setting him up without the ball somewhere else, because I know a lot of the plays can run. Joker can run plays with him anywhere on the floor. But in that instance, in that particular night, you were seeing them really get that double team going. What is that? Is that a case where for Adelman, it's just, hey, instead of starting there, we're just going to not waste any time. We're going to get you down in the paint as quickly as possible.
Yeah. So the issue with schematically is the more he's stationary, the easier, like any player, the more you're stationary, the easier you are to guard into kind of hound. And so what you couldn't do is just run him to the block really fast. I mean, if it was a transition situation and he's ahead of the ball, okay, yeah, get a quick post up, get a hit ahead pass. Now he's usually working on a player one-on-one and he can just put away a quick layup or a dunk. But if he's working behind the basketball, then it just becomes a little bit more complicated because in those instances, you almost want him to have the ball and then to maybe set this inverted pick and roll. But Utah was just going to blitz the ball out of his hands anyway. You know what was interesting about last night was the Nuggets made 16 three-pointers. Usually in cases like that where you are making jump shots to that degree and you have a player like Jamal Murray who is just making all the shots, that really recalibrates the defense
yeah.
to do different things. But Utah just didn't care. They didn't care how many shots the Nuggets were making. They didn't care how many shots that Jamal was making. They just knew that they were going to double and triple team Nikola Jokic, period. And so I just thought that was a very unique circumstance because for all intents and purposes, the Nuggets really did shoot them out of that strategy. But Utah just said, nah, we're going to stay doing this thing. And so it became a problem for Nikola Jokic all night long. Whereas, but for the most part, if you're making threes to the level that they made them, and then you have your literal other star on the court doing whatever he wants against single-up coverage all night long, no other team would have let Jamal Murray have that much space into a 30-point game, a 35-point game, a 40-point game. Like that just wouldn't have happened. But they were so concerned about Nikola Jokic over anything else that they just let everything else go and just decided to hound him all night long.
And Jamal just had one of those nights, man, and a frustrating night maybe for Joker. But Jamal, like you said, everything was working for him. 45 points, that's going to win you a lot of basketball games. And if you add in, you know, it's not like Joker had a bad game, but if you add in, you know, he starts getting into the high 20s or whatever, that's the combo right there.
Yeah, it is. And so for Jamal, look, I thought this was well done. Jamal basically said last night, we're not going to lose this game tonight. If I have to score 50 on this court tonight for us to win, then I'm going to very well do it. And because Utah was not really blitzing him off the ball or anything, like, you know, Jamal has been the recipient of a lot of this stuff, you know, this season, which especially when Nikola wasn't playing, which is if you bring the ball screen over, then the defense puts two on the ball, period. If he's working in space, sometimes the defense just runs an extra defender over there to get the ball out of his hands anyway, which is what I would have thought would have happened last night to a really greater degree, especially after he crossed the 30-point mark and then the 35-point mark, and he's going on up to 40. But that's not what they did, and so he was able to really find openings. He was really able to take his man one-on-one, get to the mid-range a lot, obviously made three-pointers, a bunch of three-pointers as well. I just think, if Jamal doesn't do what he did yesterday, the Nuggets most certainly lose, and we're having a very, very different conversation today. But he continues to have just an extraordinary season, and you know, for all intents and purposes, really saved the Nuggets last night.
Yeah, Chris Dempsey joining us, Altitude TV. Chris, Cam Johnson didn't play last night with that ankle. Obviously, I heard Vic Lombardi put out one of his post games from the other day. And obviously the dude just sounds down, you know, and yep. you're looking at the lack of production, the injuries, and the expectations have certainly, he's on a team that has different expectations than he's used to. How's he doing at this point, and where do you see him going from here?
It's a good question. He's quite clearly frustrated and just disappointed. And I think for him, you know, that, I think it's a lot of layers, man. You know, he comes from a kind of an injury-prone history. And, you know, I know prior to this season, you know, he said, I believe it was Media Day, he said he was, you know, I mean, his goal was to play 70 games this season. He's never played 70 games in any season in his career. And that's obviously not going to be the case this year either. He's only played 37 games. And so I think what we saw, that outpouring of emotion that we saw, was just very disappointment. You know, he said at one point in that interview that he said, you know, I'm summarizing this, but he talked about not letting it get to him to the point where he wanted to retire. Basically, he's like, I'm not going to hang it up. And when your thoughts are to that level, mm-hmm. then you're not in a good space. And I just think he feels like his body is betraying him, and his body is betraying him. You know, it's not allowing him to be on the court for long enough to have the impact that he wants for this basketball team. And when you go through, you know, I'm looking at his career, and these are the games he's played every single year: 57, 60, 66, 25, 58, 57, and this year 37. And so, you know, almost at no point in his career has he been able to really get a foothold into a season and really make the impact that he wants to make. And then you come to the Denver Nuggets, to your point, a team with championship expectations. There's a lot of fanfare when he got here, you know, as to what he would mean for this basketball team. And then the injuries start coming again. And it is a very, it's a very difficult place for athletes to be in. Especially when you know that you are starting to have a really good impact. And remember, he didn't start the season off really well, but then he started to really get a groove, and that's when he got his first really significant injury. Then he came back, and quite honestly, he rivals first few games, looked really good, looked like right, he picked up right where he left off, boom, injured again. And, you know, it wears on an athlete. It's quite clearly wearing on Cam Johnson. Hopefully he's got a really good support system around him. I know his teammates will rally around him and pick his spirits up, because he can be a very important piece on this basketball team. But he's got to get his body right, and if he can get his body right, then hopefully he can get into a better headspace.
Chris Dempsey, last one for you, man, on the injury front, you know, on the Cam Johnson note, but also, are we going to get good news this week about Aaron Gordon, maybe even Peyton Watson?
It's a good question. David Adelman said that a few days ago that he hoped to have the full group together for the final 20 games of the season. Well, with Cam Johnson out, I don't know what that means for that now. But at the time, Cam Johnson was playing, and so that looked like that. Basically, he was just basically saying that the return of AG and Peyton Watson were on the horizon. And so, look, I don't know. I don't know what the exact timeline is about for that is, but I would expect that Tuesday. So if not, if not late this week, then I would expect by, you know, early to mid next week. You know, it sounds like they're very close. So, the Nuggets obviously need them to be on the court, but obviously, especially in regards to Aaron Gordon, you need him to be, pretty well 100%. And then I would expect that he would not play any back-to-backs when he comes back, and the Nuggets have a few of them still left on their schedule. But it sounds like they're close, and I think that's very positive for everybody involved.
And a brutal schedule. We're gonna learn a lot about this regular season version of the Nuggets here pretty soon. Thursday, the Lakers. Friday, the Knicks. Monday, the Thunder again. Houston, Spurs, Los Angeles. I mean, that's a pretty brutal stretch here for the next 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, the hits just keep on coming. You know what was interesting is prior to the All-Star break, I think we were doing some of our final broadcast prior to the All-Star break, and they had a game in Chicago, and I was doing the studio shows with Bill Hanslick, and I said to him, I said, you know, this is a milestone game. And he says, well, what do you mean? And I said, milestone, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, but I said, this is the last game on the road against an Eastern Conference team. They had played so many road games, and they had played every single team in the East already. So what that just meant was, is even though after the All-Star break, you were definitely not going to be on the road, not nearly as much as you were, you know, percentage-wise, home to road, that you were prior to the All-Star break. But you had to play so many Western Conference teams. You still had, at the time, three games against Oklahoma City, two more against the Lakers, two more against San Antonio. Houston is mixed in. Like, every team that's good was – Minnesota is mixed in. Every team that's good was coming up on your schedule, not to mention some of the really good Eastern Conference teams coming to Denver. So Boston had yet to come to Denver. They have our – now the Knicks are coming to Denver. So this schedule really is brutal, man. It really is. And, you know, for the Nuggets, that's why it was even more important to get that win in Utah, because – I think if they went 3-3 in the next six games, I think we'd all go, oh, okay. You know, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very, very tough. They can take them one game at a time, and we'll see what they can do against LeBron and Luka and the Lakers on Thursday.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for the stretch, man. Chris, excellent stuff by you today, as always, my friend. Look forward to the next time we chat. I'll be bugging you soon, I'm sure.
I'll be right here for you, my guy.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon. Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. Nuggets have the Lakers on Thursday, March 5th, against my least favorite team in the history of the world, Mike. How about that? The Lakers.
Mine is Oklahoma City.
That's your least favorite team in the history of the world now?
Yeah, because they used to be the Supersonics.
Well, they're one of my least favorite. They're dirty. They're dirty. Lou Dort is a dirty player. And I think we're all saying it now. But that's what's frustrating me is I'm seeing a bunch of stuff online like the Joker's now in that territory. No, he's not going out of his way to trip people. I don't know. Frustrated. 27 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Wisney to sing right there. That's what we need.
Yeah.
That's so good. Whiskey in the gyro.
Want
to thank Foundation Sports Nutrition. Man, I love this dude. Getting to know him a little bit more. Kyle over there, excellent business owner. This is a fairly new business. It's a nutrition supplement business in Greeley. They're right across from Wells Fargo and Sonic, and I'm telling you guys, whether you're just trying to make a couple of changes, he'll help you out, man. Or maybe you're really like, you wanting to get into the lifting mode, you're wanting to run marathons like Michael's doing, all that stuff. You want to talk to our friends over at Foundation Sports Nutrition. I started a new supplement that I take in the mornings after I eat something. Forgot to do that the other day. Felt a little shaky, so it's important to eat with some of that stuff. I'm feeling fantastic. It's helping me. I'm able. My workouts are a little bit longer. I'm not 100% gas anymore. My motivation is up. So, and I've got a long way to go. I've got some other things I want to do with Foundation Sports Nutrition here in Greeley. Check them out online at foundationsportsnutrition.com or follow them on Instagram. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, how you doing, man? I've been worked up. We had a lot of great guests in the studio or on the show today so far. We got Matt Mummy coming in, former Colorado State Ram. Not sure where that conversation is going to go, but we've interviewed Matt several times here on the whole show. Not in this capacity, So I'm excited for that chat. But Mike, how's it going, man? How's your Tuesday shaping up?
It's shaping up to be another Tuesday.
Okay. Big Hub says, Brady, what's this USC basketball player fiasco? I haven't seen this yet. We've been so knee deep in, you know, the bear stuff and the Nuggets. There's a lot of basketball last night. You got a big one tonight for the Rams. Help me out, Big Hub. Let me know. We'll get into it. The Bears, on that note, Michael, we have the bracket set. The Bears will be playing the Grizzlies on Monday at 5:30. If they win that game, they'll move on to the semifinals to play the winner between Portland State and either Idaho State or Northern Arizona. That would be at 7:30 on ESPNU on March 10th. That's Tuesday. And if they win that, the championship game and the opportunity to go to March Madness would be on Wednesday, March 11th at 9:30 o'clock. Michael, 9:30 o'clock. I'm going to start bringing that in. It's going to be a late one, but on ESPN2. So excellent opportunity for the Bears to get some national coverage for this program. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm going through this on the football side of things, just looking at what the Broncos are going to need, all this stuff. And yesterday we got some texts asking about different teams that are needing tight ends, and I want to get into that. But saw this story, and no surprise, the Jets are placing the tag on Breece Hall amid contract talks. So they're placing the franchise tag on Breece. So, Michael, that ends that conversation, at least for one season.
Ooh.
Breece Hall's not going to be a member of the Denver Broncos anytime soon. However,
they could pick up USC's leading scorer.
Huh?
They could pick up USC's leading scorer. I just found out what happened.
What happened?
He's no longer on the team. They were playing against Nebraska, and he blocked a shot and left the game.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's all we have on this story?
I'm continuing to read the story, but this is rather the leading scorer for USC.
Oh, it's Michael. Here's the story. You just gave me he blocked shot, and I thought he blocked it so badly that he got knocked out of the game.
I think he just quit.
He was dismissed from the USC's men's basketball team yesterday after an internal investigation determined he falsified his birth certificate. That'll do it. An anonymous tip reportedly suggested that the Dominican native is actually 32 years old and a father of four. What? Is this real? Big Hub just sent me this full story there. Is that? He's 32? He was pretending to be what? No, I don't know if that's I don't know if that's true, man. I don't know.
I'm reading something about...
I think
I'm
we got duped.
Something from the Associated Press that's on ESPN.
And that says nothing about that?
Then this is from 2 days ago.
I don't think this is legit. Big Hub, I don't know if this is legit.
What website is it coming from?
Well, it's a Twitter account he sent me. I'm not going to read it on the air, but I don't know.
I'm seeing is from 2 days ago.
It's in Will County, Swami. I'm 12. What was that from Benchwarmers? They got a guy that clearly he's like a stud baseball player, and he's on their team, and they're like, dude, we need birth certificate that you're actually young enough to play on this team, and he just wrote on a notebook piece of paper and just wrote, I am 12. It's pretty good. I don't know, Big Hub. Did we get duped here? Maybe not. Maybe so. We'll see. But I don't know. Weird story. I wonder why he got. And you don't have anything else as to why he actually got ejected from the team?
I don't know.
Or kicked off the team?
Where are you seeing it? Like, I don't even. Ago. I'm going to try to read it. It's probably going to block me after the first paragraph because it's the Los Angeles Times.
I don't see it on. You actually have something up. I don't know. Let's dig into it. Because I'm curious to see if that's a reality, or if that's just a weird story. Are you bummed out about Breece Hall?
A little bit.
I think he was my favorite. Well, Kenny Swami says Big Hub got here. I think maybe. And I guess I kind of did too, but I was just reading. I'll read anything in front of the teleprompter. The Seattle Seahawks, according to Adam Schefter, are not expected to tag Super Bowl MVP Kenneth Walker III, who will now become an unrestricted free agent when the new league year opens, should the Broncos make a push for Kenneth Walker III. That would be interesting. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yes, Michael.
So it appears to be a number of disciplinary issues he has had. So he's been, been doing some stuff throughout the season, and this was just the final straw.
But nothing about falsifying his birth certificate or anything like that?
I'm seeing nothing like that, and this is the LA Times.
Yeah, people throw stuff out there, man. They throw stuff out there, and you just got to be careful with it. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 1240 the time. Mike, when we come back, let's look at prospects for the Broncos going forward. Eastside Chris says, I'm thinking ETN is who we need to go after. Receiving game is better than Walker. We didn't get into that. I didn't even talk about this yet, but there's a new member of the Denver Nuggets. I don't know how that's going to play out. Tyus Jones signed with Denver, and obviously the Chris Middleton stuff didn't go through, and I have some thoughts on that as well, but we didn't get to the Tyus Jones stuff. I don't know how much it's really going to... I don't know. Do we want to add another player for David Adelman to try to figure out how to work into this lineup? I didn't. I was kind of good with just getting guys back and seeing what you had. But we'll get into it. 12:41 the time. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Travis Etienne, Jacksonville Jaguars, or Kenneth Walker III, Seattle Seahawks, or J.K. Dobbins and R.J. Harvey?
J.K. Dobbins and R.J. Harvey.
So just stay the course.
I just don't know what we have in J.K. Dobbins and R.J. Harvey. We haven't run the ball enough.
But do you know, or can you tell me confidently that Travis Etienne or Kenneth Walker are not better? Can you say that they're not better than R.J. Harvey?
Right now, they are.
Well, isn't it about the right now? Aren't you in a Super Bowl window?
Yeah.
Next year, you're in a Super Bowl window?
We're always in a Super Bowl
window. We're not always in a Super Bowl window. When Trevor Siemian was the starting quarterback, you were not in a Super Bowl window. When Paxton Lynch was a quarterback, you were not in the Super Bowl window. You're in a Super Bowl window, Mike. You got to be responsible in a Super Bowl window. But you also have to take advantage of situations.
I don't know what we have right now. We didn't know what we had.
Well, would you rather have an I don't know what we have or have a I know what we have and it's pretty good? Which one would you rather have of those two?
If I don't know what we have, or I know what we have and it's good. And you feel like what you have isn't good enough, then go out and spend
the money. Which one are you going after? Travis Etienne or Kenneth Walker III?
Probably Travis Etienne.
Why? Because... Eastside Chris saying, that
you have the guy who performed well all season and especially in the playoffs.
He was really good in the playoffs.
Performed well all season.
Yeah, Kenneth Walker had 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns on the rushing side of things. He had 31 receptions for 281 yards, no touchdowns. Travis Etienne had 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns and 36 receptions for 292 yards, 6 touchdowns. So he's a touchdown machine. Is he like an upgraded? He's like an R.J. Harvey, but gets a lot of yards in between. So maybe go all in on Travis Etienne Jr. That's who I keep hearing. Our guy, Benjamin Albright, Broncos insider for Broncos Country Tonight. He keeps saying Travis Etienne Jr. That's going to be the guy.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't know what we have right now.
I'd rather have an I know what we have than I don't know what we have. And I don't know what we have with R.J. Harvey. I'd rather get Travis Etienne Jr. because I think we know what we have. But then again, can Sean Payton and now Davis Webb figure out how to get the most out of a running back that they didn't with Javonte? And then he went to Dallas and he just got a contract extension. 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Matt Mummy, who was with Colorado State for the last few years. We all know that story and how that ended. Big fan of Coach Mummy. Excited to bring him in studio here in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. I did see a mosquito yesterday. I saw one. Now I doubt I'll see one, but it's out. They're out there. They're ready to go. So contact great friends over at Mosquito Joe. Also want to thank Big City Roadhouse. We've got our big watch party coming up on March 19th at Big City Roadhouse for all things March Madness. They've got TVs everywhere. And yes, I have to get this cleared by probably the city and probably the government because it's that important. I have challenged morning show host Tanner Schwint to a foot race. I'm easily going to win that, but I just want to make sure that the parking lot is clear. And because I worry about like a traffic situation because there's going to be so many people coming to watch that race that's probably going to last like 4 seconds. And then two fairly out of shape white dudes passed out in the middle of a parking lot might not be a great look for business. So I need to get that cleared up first. But Mike, are we feeling good about my situation here? I've been running around here a lot more. I think that's striking a lot of fear and intimidation into Tanner, into his brain.
I believe DraftKings has you at 1.1 second faster.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So that means we'll take care of business. And that's pretty big for the short race that we're going to do.
Yeah, especially since I saw what he had for lunch today, and that does not make a man fast.
No, it does not. So
sticks
we have
to the belly.
We have that coming
and the
up
heart
at Big City Roadhouse. And then, of course, we're going to have wonderful drinks, pizza, steak. They have everything at Big City Roadhouse. All right, coming up, great friend of mine just got here, Matt Mummy, going to sit in the Aloe Fiber Studios with me in just a moment, but we'll take a break first. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.